Welcome to Changed by Love Radio with Pastor Jim Kevney. Pastor Jim's desire is to teach the Word of God with passion and simplicity, as well as a direct application to our daily lives.
Look me in the eyes, and you will see who I am. Then in verse 38, the sower of verse 36 is clearly seen as the Lord. And what is he saying to him right now? You either believe through faith and trust, or you don't. There's no middle ground. I think for a lot of times people will say to you, well, I don't know where I am. We're going to go through a progression in a minute. But remember to say to people when they go, well, I'm not quite there yet. And you have to say to them, just understand this, you're not there.
Isn't it annoying when someone doesn't give you a clear answer to whether they'll be at an event or not? Everyone dislikes someone wishy-washy in their responses. In today's message, Pastor Jim is very clear about how you must look at your walk with Jesus. If you aren't completely sure if you're following Jesus, you're most likely not a follower of him. You need to put your full trust in him and depend on him so you can have full assurance of your salvation. He's reaching out for you. Trust him today. Well, let's join Pastor Jim in the book of John chapter 9 as he continues his message. The most important question.
The man and the savior of the world. The man and the savior of the world. And we come to the most important question. Verse 35. Jesus heard that they had cast him out, and when they had found him, he said to him, do you believe in the Son of God? Now, most of your versions say the Son of Man. I think that's a better translation. The earlier manuscripts have that, okay? And that is the character which we've come across before from Daniel chapter 7, who comes to God as the great judge of mankind. So let's just, everybody, okay, this is what I want everybody to do. Any of you have any problems? Raise your hand if you have problems. Okay. If you don't have any, see me after service. I'll give you some of mine. Okay? Right? Okay. All right. So what he does is he says to this man, I want everybody to just get into this scene. Okay. I want you to be there with Jesus and this man. All right. So you're standing there. You see yourself standing there? Some of you are like, no. Others are like, yeah, I'm there. Okay. You're standing there. Jesus returns on the scene. We haven't seen Jesus since verse 7. And I love the picture that we get here, okay? Jesus heard, okay, that he'd been kicked out of the religious community or kicked out of the synagogue. And then we hear, and that's again, that's being kicked out of society, basically. And then we hear the beautiful words, when he found him. Do you know how many times I cried when I heard that before? Read this verse this week. And then he found him. And so many of us know what that's like. You're just walking along, going through life. And you can say, and then he found me. My dear friend, has he found you? And maybe even you've been a Christian a while and you've strayed and you know he has come to find you today. To say to you, this year is going to be different. We're going to do things differently this year. Jesus often divides people, yet always remember this, he's faithful to come for his own. Some of you, the pain you have in your life right now is just, you can't even deal with it. It is so hard. It is so difficult. Jesus has come to find you. Will you let him in? Will you be honest enough to tell him how you feel? You say, this just stinks. This is rotten. I can't stand this. God, I can't even deal with this. That's the beautiful thing about God become a man. He's gone through so much of the stuff that we went through. If you were here Christmas, we talked about the integrity of his stepfather, Joseph. What an incredible guy. And he grew up in the carpenter shop with his dad. And we have no evidence at all that Joseph is alive after Jesus began his ministry. Do you think he cried? He did. Do you think it was sad for him? It was. Now he's going around healing people, helping people. And what has he got? He's got these other jokers who want to kill him. He knows all of these difficult things. And so maybe, just maybe, you need to let Jesus in. Maybe he's there and he's saying, I want to come close to you at this point in time. I want to share in the pain with you in this circumstance. Will you let me in? Oh, to be found by the love and grace of God. Oh, to have God come alongside you and you know his presence is with you. I think personally, I felt God's presence more in my pain than anywhere else. And this man has been transformed. He is not afraid of what people think. He has clearly been changed by the Lord Jesus Christ. And so here, having been restored to his physical sight, Jesus asks him to see through the eyes of faith, the Son of Man. Oh, I restored your physical sight. But now I want to restore your spiritual sight. I want to give you sight. And this is the first time he's seen Jesus, right? Remember, we said that he went to go wash the mud off, but Jesus didn't go with him. And Jesus is not there. And all he's been saying up until this point in time that he is a prophet, but Jesus asked him the question that determines someone's eternal destiny. Do you believe? Do you believe? Will you put your faith and trust in me despite the horrible life that you have had up until this point? Despite the heartache that you have experienced? I want to walk alongside you through this pain, through this sorrow. Will you come to me in true faith and trust? So Jesus asked the man and all of us, will you actually commit yourself to Jesus Christ? To the God-man, to God who added humanity, to the Savior of the world, who brings hope to people, who brings forgiveness to people, okay? And I think that sometimes we don't understand that even in the midst of our deepest and darkest pain, that is where God is going to seek you, because that's where he knows he's going to truly meet you. Because you got nothing. You got nothing. I remember when I first met the Lord, really, and I knew that I was in his presence. On the one hand, I was terrified. And on the other hand, I have never felt so safe in my life. Because I knew I was in the presence of the Lord. Verse 36 and 38, he answered and said, who is he, Lord? Now, most of your verses say, sir, which I think is a better translation, that I may believe in him. Now watch verse 37. And Jesus said to him, you have both seen him, and it is he who is talking with you. Then he said, and now I think this is the proper use of the word Lord. Then he said, Lord, I believe. And he worshiped him. Clearly, the man is out of spiritual darkness. In verse 36, the once blind man has not connected the Son of Man with this Jesus of Nazareth guy, yet his question is sincere. Notice what Jesus does. Jesus directs him, okay, directs the man's faith to himself and not to anyone else. He doesn't say, hey, you know, worship this or worship that or this or that or anything like that. He says, worship me. Me. Verse 37, Jesus makes the connection for the man. What you physically see, you need to spiritually see. Look at me. Look me in the eyes, and you will see who I am. Then in verse 38, the sower of verse 36 is clearly seen as the Lord. And what is he saying to him right now? You either believe through faith and trust or you don't. There's no middle ground. I think for a lot of times people will say to you, well, I don't know where I am. We're going to go through a progression in a minute. But remember to say to people when they go, well, I'm not quite there yet. And you have to say to them, just understand this. You're not there. If you're not there, you're either there or you are not. What is the true response of faith? It's right here. And he worshiped him. You know, a lot of times people think the pastor gets his way in a church. Not so much, okay? Do you know what I would really love to do? We sing 4 or 5 songs, okay? Quick announcements. We stand and read the scripture. Do you know why we stand? Because God is speaking to his people before obnoxious Pastor Jim interrupts them, okay? And then we hear from the word of God. Ask anybody in the worship team. The singing is so much better after the message than before the message. If I had my way, we'd all come in here. I'm telling everybody, turn out the lights in the hallway. Put them in a dark place so they have to come in here with this light. Okay? If I had my way, we'd sing one song. One. Quick announcements, scripture reading, hear from the word of God, and then we sing 4 or 5 songs. Because the worship of God is so much better after the message than it is before. But that would require everybody to walk in on time. Right? That's a big change. So you start doing that, we'll experiment with that. Or maybe we'll just do it anyway. You walk in the middle like, what the heck is he talking about? Right?
Go for it.
That's the guys in the front row there. God bless you, brothers.
Thank you.
Okay. I don't know where I'm in the message, but here we go. Okay. So he realizes he's in the presence of the divine. That's what he realizes. And that's the difference. When God's word goes forth, some of us realize that we are in the presence of the divine. He's been born blind, been kicked out of a bad church. Some of you have been kicked out of a bad church, and you felt bad that day. You should have praised God from whom all blessings flow. Okay? I remember that we were going to 2 churches at one time, and they told us, take a hike. You're out, right? You couldn't serve in the ministry you were doing anymore. Being a typically insensitive husband, I came home from my wife. I said, well, they made our decision easy. She was like, no, okay. But anyway, they did. That's why we're here, okay? But it wasn't a bad church, but just that's what they wanted to do. Perhaps now, though, but being born blind, being kicked out of a bad church, perhaps now he's finally able to see the plan of God. You see, we don't know the plan of God all the time. And we may not even know it in this life. But we will eventually know it. Verse 39. And Jesus said, for judgment I have come to this world, into this world, that those who do not see may see, or will see, and those who see, we might say those who think they see, will be made blind or will become blind. Now the word judgment implies punishment, but I think here this word is used more as a process of judgment. We might say, Jesus Christ has come to be a light to the blind, okay? And that clearly identifies those who reject the light. Now, back in John 3, we don't have time to go back there, but you please go back there. We saw the love of God in sending his son, John 3:16. But a couple of verses later, what did he say? That the whole world had already been found guilty. That's why he needed to send his son. That leads everyone to the question. We have to answer this question, friends. Do you have blindness or sight? Spiritual blindness or sight? That has been the question since chapter 1. Go back to chapter 1 and read it again. He came to his own, and his own did not recognize him. But the issue is complicated by this simple fact. People can't wrap their arms around that God became a man, okay? That's our job. But here's a bigger problem, a much bigger problem. Humanity thinks it's God. That's a problem. People think that they are God. They think that they decide everything. Really? Are you kidding me? So when the light came on in the person of Jesus Christ, some people said yes, some people said no. So you might say, I don't think God would judge anyone, but the reality is those who say no to God have already judged themselves. They have judged themselves. Unless they say what this man said, Lord, I believe. That's what you need to say. Verse 40 and 41. Then some of the Pharisees, the religious leaders, who were with him, heard these words and said to him, are we blind also? Another version says, we aren't blind too, are we? Well, the answer to that question is yes. Because why? Because we were all born spiritually blind. They have not gone into to see. Verse 41, Jesus said to them, if you were blind, you would have no sin or guilt. But now you say, we see. You think you see, therefore your sin or your guilt remains. So the nasty religious leaders hear Jesus and they go, you don't think we're blind too, do you? Now, they're being sarcastic, but it's an excellent question. And Jesus tells them, well, as a matter of fact, yes, I do. See, they had seen the divine transformation of the man, and they denied it. And as we're going through the Gospel of John, one thing that is very clear, the sin of the Gospel of John is what? Unbelief. We've been seeing it all over the place. Jesus responds to them and says, since you think or claim you can see, it's an indicator of just how blind you are. Remember, he knows they want to kill him. So Jesus is showing us with a sign that we are all born spiritually blind, yet Jesus comes to us and calls us into his light to give us spiritual light. Mark 2:17, John, Jesus said this, when Jesus heard it, he said to them, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick. I did not come to call the righteous. Now, the Bible says none are righteous, no, not one, but sinners to repentance. Well, how did he do that? He came and lived a perfect life in our place, died on the cross in our place, okay, rose from the dead, so all who would, Jesus said, repent and believe, turn to him, put their trust in him, would receive eternal life. Notice Jesus says, okay, back in verse 41, your sin or your guilt remains until you do something about it. What do you need to do? You need to put your trust in Jesus Christ. Now it appears Jesus is saying, and this is really where I feel very kind of paranoid or distraught about the United States, okay? You have enough knowledge to believe, yet your pride and your spiritual blindness is what's keeping you away. You think you're God. You think you should be, you know, in charge of everything. You think you do all this religious stuff in heaven. It's like, wow, that's so impressive. That's so impressive. Spiritual blindness can only be healed by putting your faith and trust in Jesus Christ. If you don't, the light has fallen on blind spiritual eyes. So let's quickly, as we end here, you know, when pastors say that, it means nothing, but we're getting close. Let's look at the man's spiritual progress. Verse 11, the man said, it was a man. It was a man. Verse 17, oh, he's a prophet. See, the people are asking him questions, and the more they ask him, the more he's thinking about who he's met. Verse 27, you could say he's saying he should be followed. Verse 33, he says he's from God. And verse 38, he says, I believe, and he worshiped. Do you see the progress?
Yes.
Okay. It seems to be, the more we respond to God, the more light God seems to give. That's why I would encourage you to set yourself up, okay, to spend some time daily with God. Most of us find the best time is in the morning. You can do it throughout the day, lunchtime or something like that. But start at a reasonable thing. Some people are like, well, I'm going to read the Bible and pray for 2 hours every morning. And then their boss says, well, you're late for morning work for every day. If you keep coming late, you're fired. And you're like, ah, it didn't work out, God, sorry. Okay, start smaller. Okay, start smaller. Maybe 10 minutes reading the Bible, 15 minutes, 5, 10 minutes of praying or something like that. Okay, now you say, well, I find that hard to do. Lay it all out the night before. Lay it all night out the night before. Okay, when I had my back surgery, you know what they told me to do? Walk for the first 30 minutes of every day. That's what they told me to do. Now, when I wake up, do you think I feel like walking? No. For years, I used to hear trumpets in the morning when I woke up. Bam, 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 right? Now, I don't hear the trumpets anymore. Somebody stole them. Now I'm like, I used to wake up, good morning, Lord. Now I'm like, good Lord, it's morning. Okay? But what do? I lay my clothes out, and the water they told me to drink when I wake up in the morning before I go to bed. I lay my Bible out, no work around, Bible's open to where I want to start to read from, and I have my two pads, one's things I think God might be telling me, and all the stupid stuff I remember as God, the other guy's trying to take my mind off it, okay? But start in a way that you can make that happen, okay? Because the more, okay, you pursue God, the more he seems to give us. Amen. So let me ask you, where are you on this journey? And this year, why don't we just try to change some things? And you know, they say it takes 30 days to build a habit. It doesn't take that long. Maybe go to bed a little early or something like that. And you can do that, or your lunch hours or something like that. So the Apostle John seems to have written all this to bring us to the most important question. Do you believe in the Son of God? Do you believe in the Son of Man? Have you put your trust in him? These guys keep answering, nobody else's. Okay? All right, everybody listen very carefully. If you're not there yet, you're not there yet. You got to keep coming. Don't stop the progress. Okay? You're moving through, just like this guy says, you're moving through it. Very rarely do people really hear the gospel for the first time and they become true disciples of Jesus. Very rarely. Okay? So you got to keep the progress going. Okay? If today, maybe you've been in the progress, and today you realize that you are a sinner and you want to say, I believe, confess your need to God, okay, for the Savior, and put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can do that right today. Barry, play the guitar for a little bit, and you can do that. You forget about the words. There's no proper words, okay? It is your heart that says, God, I need your forgiveness. I need you to come into my life. I need Jesus, who paid the penalty for my sins, to be my Lord and Savior. Any variation of that, whatever you want to say, okay? If you are a follower of Jesus already, or you know you've been far, but you need to come back, this man gave us the answer. What do you need to do? You need to worship. You need to worship.
You have been listening to Changed by Love, the teaching ministry of Pastor Jim Kevney, and that's all the time we have for today. Our desire here at Changed by Love is to simply bring you the life-changing message of Jesus Christ by teaching you the Bible in a simple, easy-to-follow way. If you missed part of today's message or want to hear it again, go to our website, changedbyloveradio.org. This program is possible because of the support of you, our listeners. Your support helps us to produce radio shows and purchase radio time on radio stations across the country. Pastor Jim often says that it was radio that helped him in many ways when he was a truck driver and an office worker before he became a pastor. Our team here at Changed by Love is always encouraged to hear how our ministry is helping you in your walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. You can email us at changedbyloveradio@gmail.com. And when you write to us, please let us know what station and time you hear us. We would also like to thank all of you who pray for our ministry. We realize that without your prayers, our work would lack power. Pastor Jim is so grateful to the people who write to us and pray at the conclusion of each show. Without your prayers and support, we can't do what we do. Our hope and desire is that you will join us again next time on this radio station as we continue teaching the Word of the Lord here in the Gospel of John, one verse at a time. Those of us who are bringing you the Changed by Love program pray God's best to each and every one of you today and every day.